everything we're saying is notable. So if you're sitting in a place where there are multiple handouts, you know, pass one to the back so there's one every two or three guys so they can maybe keep track by having one they can look on. Here's my original. You know, I should have found out. Is there any representative of the conference here? Can we get copies now? David, do you know?
They have made copies on some of the others, so I'm sure we will.
You think you can find a place over there, Mike?
Great man, Mike.
Mike's volunteered. Let's just get a rough idea of how many we need if we need some. If everybody doesn't have one, would you put your hand up? We'll count. We need that, too.
There's two seats up here.
Mark, we'll just add 30 minutes to everything on our timetable, okay? Okay. Prevailing. You know, you guys might want to pull that divider over there, too, so that we don't cause a sound problem for the next room. I am he went to make photocopies for us. I'm flabbergasted that so many people came. You stop and think about it. You give a workshop on prayer. Anybody here doesn't know what prayer is? Anybody here doesn't know that you ought to pray? Anybody here doesn't want to pray? So what are you guys doing in this workshop? See, I mean, I don't understand that. Yeah, right. I should have said, during the prayer, you can sneak out and get in the one you really need, you know. This says more about our heart for God than anything, that we would all show up in a workshop. Every year, the organizers of the conference here pray and ask God, what workshop does Jim Kennedy need the most in his own personal life? And so I didn't get asked to do a workshop this year because whoever was supposed to send out the letter to me forgot, or, you know, didn't get mailed to me. So I was feeling kind of bummed out. I didn't know what I was supposed to work on this year, you know, in my life. So I wrote a letter and volunteered to do a couple of workshops. And they said, oh, I'm sorry, we've already designated you for prayer. And I thought, oh, my gosh. Of all the 28 workshops, the thing I'm doing worst in, year out, is prayer. So since I'm doing so poorly, I recruited two guys that are doing real well to give the workshop, and I'm just going to introduce it for you. But what we're going to do this morning is we've got Mark Blakeney from Lewisville, Texas, who's going to talk about daily prayer. And then Don Horton from Dallas, Texas, is going to talk about extended prayer, those times away where you know go and spend a half a day or a day or a couple of days, just you and the Lord. And then I'm going to come back in at the end and talk about answers to prayer. Sometimes why our prayers don't get ready answers or why we need to pray that way. You see at the top there of the handout, which some of you can't see, and again, I apologize because I just thought, okay, how many guys are going to come to a workshop on prayer? So I thought 25 max. So I made 35 handouts just to be silly. But we ran out. I apologize. Overview, the seasons of prayer. There's one kind of prayer, which is that constant prayer which we're always doing. Pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5. And Nehemiah, you know, threw a prayer up to God just before he talked. But people aren't really effective with that unless they have concentrated prayer as well. Usually when I hear somebody say, oh, I'm just in constant prayer, that he's not in any kind of prayer. And then there's that daily prayer. Jesus made it his habit to go out a great while before noon. You remember that verse, Mark 1:35? In the morning, a great while before noon, he went out to a lonely place, and there he prayed. And then, you know that's not right. A great while before day, he went out, you know, before sun came up. And then there's extended prayer, and we have the example of Jesus and Moses, and so there's a variety of kinds of prayer. So I'm going to get Mark up here right now and start helping us with daily intercessory prayer. Put that up a little bit high, Mark. Okay. Guys, I've got to confess, when Jim asked me to help him with this, this is one area that was really suffering in my life also. So I took it as a good old Holy Spirit slap in the face to get going. I wanted to look at kind of three different areas, and what I'm talking about, daily intercessory prayer, is that prayer that we do either in conjunction with our quiet time, or it's that daily regular prayer. And when we say intercessory prayer, praying for other people and bringing them before God and letting His Spirit work in them and in their circumstances. So I'd like to look at three things. Our admonition to pray, and Jesus did this by example, by instruction, and also by telling us in the Scripture. Jesus' example, Jim just mentioned Mark 1:35. Jesus got up early in the morning. I think early is very important. I think the first hour of the day, I've read a quote, is the rudder that guides the course of the rest of the day. If you don't get it done early, it's hard to get in communion with God once the hustle and bustle of the day begins. So getting in a habit of getting that early time with God is very important. Jesus' instruction, Luke 18:1, men ought always to pray and not faint. And then in Matthew 9:35 and 38, when he looked out on the multitudes and he had compassion on them because they were scattered, they were helpless. And what did he tell us to do? He didn't tell us to build buildings, have a meeting, or get a program together. He said pray. So we should pray because Jesus told us to. And then also we've got the directive of Scripture. And time again, how many times do we have to hear it? We're to pray. That passage in Ephesians 6, where we're given the armor of God, the complete armor of God, how does he cap it off? With this in mind, pray constantly in the Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18, rejoice always, pray without ceasing. And everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Colossians 4:2-4, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Romans 12:12, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer. So it's clear, we are to pray. What keeps us from praying? I'll tell you what keeps me from praying. My biggest struggle in daily intercessory prayer, and there are three things I've got listed there, Satan, the flesh, and the world. What gets me most is the flesh, because I want to stay in bed. It's too easy to just roll over, go back to sleep, get that extra 30, 45 minutes of sleep, rather than getting up and spending time with God. Why does the devil not want us to pray? I think he's terrified when we pray. I think the reason Satan doesn't want us to pray is because we, through prayer, can hold Satan off from other lives and give the Holy Spirit a chance with them. And I think that the weakest guy here, myself being probably one of them, who's living right with God, who's walking in the Spirit, but who is praying, is an absolute terror to Satan. Because you're called on the almighty power of God. Some other things that hinders prayer, and I don't have listed there, is unconfessed sin. Read a great book by a guy by the name of W. Oscar Thompson called Concentric Circles of Concern. And his advice was to keep short accounts with God. And if the Holy Spirit brings something into your mind that is wrong, set it straight. Use 1 John 1:9, because that'll hinder your prayer. What I'd like to do is for us to do a little exercise. And Jim, should we try it with this many guys? All right. Try to get up in maybe groups of three, maybe four, if three's too little, and discuss the question that's written there. If you don't have a handout, it's which of the three hindrances to prayer mentioned above, that is the Satan, flesh, or the world, hinders you most often in your daily prayer life? And how does that normally occur? And then I want you to write down two practical things that you can do to fight that temptation not to pray. So like for my example, my temptation is to sleep in. So what can I do to kind of combat that? Well, one thing I could do is I could take the alarm clock and set it over on the other side of the room. So when it gets up, when it goes off, I have to get up, go over and turn it off. So that's the kind of thing I'd like to do. So if you could just kind of turn the chairs around, get in groups of three or four, and just go through that. We'll do about 8 minutes. We were just informed by our brothers next door that they can't hear. So we got to kind of keep it down. Well, I hope you thought of some things that that would help you in your prayer life. The last thing I'd like to talk about regarding our daily prayer is our advocate, and that's Jesus. Somebody, I gave a card for Hebrews 4, 14 through 16. David, would you read that for us?
Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and may find grace to help in time of need.
Thank you. And who had Hebrews 10, 19 through 22?
Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is, his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water.
So we can go confidently before God's throne, not because of our merit, but because of Jesus' merit. Our prayers aren't heard because we're earnest or that we mean them, or because we suffer, but because Jesus suffered. The Holy Spirit is our facilitator in prayer. And I can't tell you how much this particular verse meant to me when I found it and memorized it and started meditating on it. Because the way that I had kind of structured my prayer life was around my quiet time, and that kind of just evolved over a period of time. When I first started having a quiet time, it was mostly just intake of the Word. I just couldn't get enough of the Word. It just meant it was jumping off the page at me. And then I would pray through that and about that to God. And then as I went on in my quiet time in praying, then my focus began to transfer from being inward to outward, to others, and wanting to pray for others. So I started praying for people on a regular basis without really any form or function or form. I just, as people would come to mind, I would pray for them, and I got to thinking, gosh, there's a lot of people I could be praying for, but they just don't come to mind. So I read a book that gave me a good idea of how to do that. And so the way mine is organized, it's on a weekly basis, and I have in my quiet time journal a page for each day of the week. And for each day, I have a name or names written down, and that's all I have. And I know some guys use journals where they can record answered prayer, and that's great. For me, I just needed a very simplistic way to do that. And so I'll just have the name there, and I would pray through that list and pray for that person. Well, after a while, after, you know, 6 months of that, I got to thinking, gosh, you know, I would have somebody on the list that I don't really see regularly, and I don't know what's going on in their life, and I don't know how to pray for them. And I don't know what's really happening. And then I found Romans 8, 26 and 27. And I realized at that time that the Holy Spirit was interceding for that person on their behalf. And I didn't have to worry about whether I knew what was going on in their life. Like, you know, maybe on Wednesday I pray for John Taylor over in Frederick, Oklahoma, and I don't have any idea what John's doing. But I know that I'm bringing him before the Father, and I know that the Holy Spirit is interceding for John in accordance with God's will. One thing that's really helped me in my personal prayer life is having a place to pray. And my place is a kitchen table. And I don't know where yours is or where you could find one, but I think it's important to have a regular place of prayer. And I'm not saying that you can't alter that sometimes and try something new, and I think you probably should do that to if you kind of get stale and want to try something new. But to me, that kitchen table is like my altar to God. And to just give you an example, we built a new room onto the house. We enclosed a patio. You know, I was thinking how nice it would be. It was all glass, and I thought that'd be a great place to have my quiet time. So we got that room all finished, and it was, you know, ready to be used. And I couldn't use it. I kept going back to the kitchen table because that was my altar to God. And whenever I need to pray and I'm in the house, I go to the kitchen table. So I suggest you find a place and make that your altar. And then try to organize your prayer life into a system that works for you. And a system that works for me may not work for you. If you don't have one, you can ask someone, anyone here probably that you know is praying on a daily basis, probably help you with something. Or you can read a book on prayer that would give you an idea of how to organize. For me, I've got mine organized on a daily basis, 7 days a week. I know some guys pray on a monthly basis. They have people that they pray for once a month. They have people they pray for once a week. And they have people they pray for daily. So the thing is, get something that works. W. Oscar Thompson, the guy that wrote the book, Concentric Circles of Concern, said, "Nothing becomes dynamic until it becomes specific." And I fumbled with my prayer life for quite a while until I finally sat down and said, I've got to get something organized so that I can get through this, because there's just so much that I'm missing, so many people that I'm not praying for. Benefits to praying. I think the major benefit that I get from praying is being transformed into the image of Christ, Christ-likeness. We become like what we focus on most. And I think that we are changed through prayer, not necessarily because we've taken the effort to get up and go and make a pot of coffee and sit down and pray, that we've done something, but because we've been with God. Face it, guys, most of the time, for me, prayer is a labor. It's hard work. And, you know, labor is something that none of us really like to do. But Oswald Chambers, a guy that I read a lot of, said something very profound. He said, it's the laboring man who makes the conceptions of the genius possible. And it's the laboring saint who makes the conception of his Father possible. So we need to labor at prayer. Because I think prayer, as Oswald Chambers says, is the greater work. Sometimes we think of prayer as being something that prepares us to do the work. I think prayer is the work. Another thing is that intercessory prayer is the only form of ministry that has no snare. That's also from Oswald Chambers. You know, it's easy. I can get up and sing in front of a group, and that's a ministry. But there's a snare in that. There's a snare of pride and publicity. And you have to, that's a battle you have to fight. Or someone can get up and speak and preach, and there's the snare of publicity and pride in that. But intercessory prayer between you and the Father, there's no snare there. There's no possibility of pride. One thing Jim wanted me to mention in prayer is the ACTS system. I don't know if you've heard that. It's ACTS, kind of a system to facilitate prayer. A stands for adoration. We praise our Lord first. C stands for confession, confess any known sin. T stands for thanksgiving, to give thanks. And then S, we enter into supplication, an intercessory prayer. Another benefit, we can equip saints that we don't see, that we're not able to have personal input in, a daily input, one-on-one input. We can equip them through prayer. And one of the most effective ways I know of doing that is to pray the scriptures. And it's something that I did that I felt was really helpful to me is I memorized a lot of the New Testament prayers. And when I'm praying for Jim or someone that I know and love and I don't really know what to pray, sometimes I'll just pray a scripture for them. And I think Don's going to mention later that you can't pray more scripturally than praying scripture. Sometimes when I'm praying for other people, I get something for myself. A guy named Rutherford said, I have been benefited by praying for others, for by making an errand to God for them, I've gotten something for myself. And then I think prayer is probably one of the most effective means of ministry, because it's like one of those smart bombs, you know, that we saw in the Persian Gulf War. It's like a guided missile. It's always going to hit its target. You can't go wrong with prayer. And one thought I'd like to leave y'all with is that your life might be an answer to somebody else's prayer. Just keep that in mind as you're going along. Jim?
Hey, Don is going to come now and talk to us about extended prayer. I got to thinking that some people probably came to this workshop because you pay my salary. There's quite a few people that help support me in my Navigator ministry. And you'd like to see what I, you know, kind of come and inspect, see what I can do this year, you know. So I thought, well, what is it I do? Give workshops? No, it's invest in people's lives. So the way I planned it is the right way. So you can meet Mark and Don. So Don's a dear brother, and he loves God about as much as anybody I know, and he's going to tell us a little bit about his pilgrimage in the area of extended prayer.
Okay. I don't know about y'all when you got together a while ago, you know, in your groups. What was the biggest problem? Flesh? Satan? That only leaves the world, doesn't it? I mean, well, I think they're all Satan-oriented, aren't they? But the problem I found in our group, we were talking about time problems, priorities, you know. Does that get in there pretty big? I know it does in my life. I mean, like Neil said, it's sort of the last thing that he gets to at the end of the day, and it sort of gets shoved aside if he's got some more things to have to get to. So I think all of us need to remember the priority that Jesus had for prayer. I mean, you know, he spent a lot of time in prayer, and he's in these different forms. One of the ways he spent time, he went off for extended times in prayer. And I found a dimension in that I never realized by reading one of Lauren Sandy's old books on this, on how to spend a day in prayer, and which I'm getting a lot of this material out of, so if y'all forgive me, I know Lauren wouldn't mind, but, you know, so I think I'll tell you, when you rush for time every day, if you will invest in some extended time in prayer, you won't have to worry about the clock anymore for a while, and it's the greatest release that I've found in my prayer life that I have, and I don't do it near as often as I'd like. But it will give you a new dimension in your prayer, and you're going to have a great time. So I want to look at a few things. My presentation is sort of going to be a little of a practical thing, or how do we do this? And I'm going to share a few insights on some of the times that I've got off at the end. But I want to look at this extended prayer, and that's a relative term. You know, somebody told a lady one time, you know, how you're supposed to bear much fruit in our lives, and I don't know what much fruit is. I think I know a little bit about it more than I used to, but... So this Bill Smith asked Cindy, his wife, to go get a lot of bananas. And she brought a whole stem of bananas in about that long, you know. So extended prayer, it could be 2 hours. you know, is what I'm trying to say. My definition is significantly longer than you normally take in your prayer life, you know. I have found it to be helpful to get away in an afternoon and most of the next day, or, you know, or at least through noon of the next day. And so that's a little definition. It's really a relative term, as you would realize. E.M. Bounce says here, I'd like to read this, God's acquaintance is not made hurriedly. He does not bestow his gifts on the casual or the hasty comer and goer. To be much alone with God is the secret of knowing him and of influence with him, E.M. Bounce. So I've started the purpose of prayer generally, in any kind of prayer, my idea is to know God. That's the. But we're going to talk about some other purposes that you might want to get out for a day by yourself or an evening and a morning or something, some purposes for extended prayer. I'm talking about some specific things, you know, generic but specific also, that we might. So what would y'all, what have you used? I'm sure some of you have done a lot of this. And what, yes, did you have something, Keith? I'm going to give you another run at it for extended fellowship with our Savior. Okay, that's one thing. How about what would be another reason that you might want to get out with a lot of prayer? Do what? To know his will about what? How about maybe if you were faced with a major decision? I mean, you obviously want to know his will there. So to know his will about major decisions in our lives, right? I mean, when we're talking about big-time stuff here. We've got a friend of here has finished a law degree and out for a couple years. He's not sure he wants to be in the legal profession anymore. Well, maybe those are feelings rather than, but, you know, getting along with God, he's got some major decisions to make. What else might be? We talked about some other types of reasons we pray. What would be some other times you want to get out? Yes, Chuck? Do what? Reveal sin, come before God, and sort of a personal inventory evaluation. Would that be a good thing we could put down? To take some personal inventory? I mean, Lord, I'm not pleased with myself. I've been screwing up my wife regularly, more than normal. You know, and my kids, I don't have patience, and I'm not being kind anymore. You know, if God convicts you, and as he does all of us in these areas, he's telling you, why don't you come spend some time with me, and I'm going to show you what it's all about. You know, and that takes some time. You know, okay.
Now, another thing would probably go along with discerning his will, but just to take some time to reestablish priorities.
Good, yeah. Reestablish priorities. Yes.
Also,
Neil?
You might want to take time out to deal with a sin. You could have a family member that's in adultery,
right.
Or a child that's overcoming a major temptation, or. You know, it could be specific. I know Jesus said, well, this kind of, you need prayer and fasting.
Right,
you know,
yeah.
To deal with maybe an evil spirit or someone facing a major spiritual hurdle.
And let's talk about intercession. Do y'all ever get caught up on your intercessory prayers? It's a great way to get to do catch-up on intercession. It really is. I mean, that would be something we could do all the time. It would be one of our main purposes. Yes.
Missionary letters out there and pray through.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, just maybe yours and I don't know if Gene Wars and no. I mean, I got a lot of them laying around, you know, and they just don't get hit like I like. I'm being honest about that. It's a great way to do that. Yes.
It may go along with the culture, but just refreshment. Going back to
some new and refreshed. Exactly, for just for extended fellowship would be refreshing, and you know you're going to get that if you gaze upon the Lord enough. You're going to get to look like him, i.e., you're going to take on his character that he wants for you. To gaze upon the view of the Lord and seek him in his temple, Psalms 27:4, what David did. He wanted to spend all the days of his life to gaze upon the Lord and seek him in his temple. And he said, "One thing I ask of the Lord, and this is what I seek." He said, "I'm asking him for it, but I'm also going to seek it." And that's David's top priority. Yeah. Just a sec. Go ahead.
Just a demonstration of the example of Jesus. I never would have experienced a half-day prayer in a secluded area unless somebody said, hey, come with me. I'm going to tell you something. I never would have said, hey, come with me to somebody else to experience that if somebody hadn't said,
set the example?
Yeah.
It gives you a chance to set the example. Is that what you're thinking?
Right. Do we have guidance? I guess we have guidance in there pretty well. Yeah, guidance. Preparation. How many times do you want to get, what's the verse on in Proverbs, Lord makes ready the horses get ready for the battle, but Lord, what's the verse, Jim?
21:31.
Yeah, 21:31. What is that verse? Yeah, victory belongs to the Lord. The horses prepare for the day of battle, but victory belongs to the Lord. There's some preparation in things that we want to do. You can find all these verses. I have not oriented as much on Scripture as I should, maybe, but it's all together. I want to get some thoughts together, and then we can seek out our Scriptures to confirm. Be like the Bereans. You know, go in your Bible and just test all these areas out, as which we all should do. Yeah. Excuse me, go.
One thing I just thought about is that, you know, most of the time my prayer life is regimental, you know, it's repetitive, and it's just like I come and I'm talking all the time. You know?
Right, yeah.
I'm thinking that maybe the best thing I need to do in my extended time is just draw away and just listen to God.
Right, exactly. Great. We're going to hit on that in just a minute also, some more.
Like national revival.
National revival, that'd be intercessory, yeah, under that. You can. Now, I'm going to move on. We've got the idea. You can have your own list, personalize your list. If this gives you some additional thoughts that you didn't have before, then that's great. I think the looking over. Now let's look at the next page, please. And there's a lot of when you have extended time of prayer. This doesn't necessarily exclude you to extended time of prayer, but these are essential ingredients. You know, there's certain things that you've got to have together before something's going to come out okay. You know, I may put in a little less salt than you, or I might put some Tabasco in, but I'm going to have some bread and or some flour and yeast, and you know, and it's going to blend together. So these would be what I would say are the essential ingredients, and there's a lot more we can talk about later on. But they're very clearly the Word, meditation, and prayer. And Lauren Sandy said that you can never pray more Scripture than pray Scripture, and that's what Proverbs 2 verses 1 through 5 you cried out to God, is went into the Scriptures, and they were hand in hand like ham and eggs, prayer and the Word. And I think if I couldn't do anything more right now, this was a real eye-opener to me. My personal prayer life was linking these together in everywhere I go. And it actually, the Scripture memory work, Scripture memory plays into this, because you're going to go through an attitude of prayer, because you're going to think on some days through the day on some Scripture, and you're going to pray that Scripture back to God often through the day. So this doesn't just apply to extended prayer, but the linkage here is Bible reading to prayer, not just via meditation. There's another, and of course the Holy Spirit is here with us now. Okay? The Holy Spirit takes our reading, which is what in that blank there? The Word. The Holy Spirit takes our reading, i.e. the Word, guides us in our thinking, which is what?
Meditation.
And that results in our speaking, i.e. praying. Lauren also said, you know, you haven't prayed unless it's simply speaking to God. And if you don't speak to God, you're not praying. I might say to somebody, as I really am guilty of some, well, I'm going to be praying for you. Well, that's not praying. That's telling them I'm going to be praying. Well, sometimes I don't do that. But so all this comes together, the Word, meditation, and result in our talking to God. And of course, we have a lot of listening to do, too. I know that, meditation. The Word feeds meditation, and meditation feeds prayer. These are a little bit redundant, but I think it's important. When we take in the Word, what we take in by the Word is digested. How do we digest the Word in our lives? Meditation. See, these are very interlinked, and there's a strong linkage here. Meditation, there's a lot of definitions. Jim Kennedy gave me one time that I almost blew out the memory of my computer getting it in, but it was a very comprehensive definition of meditation. No, I've got it, too, still. But I put one here, the unhurried, and I underline unhurried. And this is where extended time can come in, because I hurry too much in my prayers. I think we all may do. The unhurried mulling over and pondering of God's word. Pondering is used when Mary pondered over the thoughts that the angel told her that Jesus was coming. That was, she was mixing it all together. That's what that means. It's sort of a mixing it all together, pondering and mulling over. It's a complete digestion so as to get full value and content from the word. Now, so that the parts are the word, meditation, prayer. When we get out by ourselves, you know, you've got to get into that or you're not going to have an effective time with God in his word and prayer. I handed out, and they're supposed to make some copies of one of little George Mueller's, How to Be Constantly Happy in the Lord. Now, I just want you to take that piece, and there'll be some more hope before we leave. He discovered a secret of happiness in his life, and it has to do with, he was reading the word and praying, but he started doing them together in what we're talking about here. And I think you'll find that, just that one little article, very helpful to you, if you'll take it home and read it. Yes?
Can we just go ahead, since we may not get those copies, and just kind of give them the kernel of thought?
Well, the kernel of thought is basically up what we've just gone over. It just reinforces from a man like George Mueller, who, you know, has a lot more authority in his life, what God's done, than what I'm telling you. I just thought you would like that. But he never did pray without reading the Word. And as a result of reading the Word, he came into cognizant, or came to his mind on how he should be praying, and so it was all closely interlinked. He didn't listen to God in the Word over here and read a couple of chapters and then go over here and pray and talk back to God. He did it in a circular fashion for its effective communications that way. So as you're reading, a lot of times you may want to read through the Psalms and personalize the scripture to yourself, praising him for who you are, and you know, you just go ahead and read through a lot of ways you can in your praise, adoration, and your confession using the verses that you come across then. How are we doing on time, Jim? Okay. Now, I want to get into this lower section here. These are some guidelines. This is sort of a practical thing. You might not think we need to think about these, but, you know, one thing is don't go out, don't leave. Like, I leave downtown Dallas, and I'm mad, and I'm tired, I'm getting any work. You know, I'm going to go out and pray if it's the last thing I do, you know, and I get, you know, and I get picked up by radar probably going out, you know. And then Carol Boley over here, I go to my place on Lake Fork. It's my little extended time place, and he called, and he wants to go fishing. I won't be out there by myself, and he wants to show up and go fishing with me, see? So I got to sneak out on Carol, because we... But don't go out like that. Get well-rested, not physically and spiritually, and don't go out tired. Now, what are some of the tools? We're going to list some here. Jim, do you want to get back up? And now I put, obviously, the Bible. Well, what about the Bible? Would you want to just take one Bible, or might you want to take another version or two or something? We're talking about 8 or 10 or 12 hours here now. Would it be nice to read out of maybe the Amplified Version a little bit? I think it would be. I use the NIV, but I also take the Message can go out, you know. I mean, you have your own favorite versions, the Living Bible. What else would we want to take? Now, we got the Bible. That's the core, obviously. What else might we want to make sure?
Songbook.
Great. Amen. Great. Yeah, get some of Mark's tapes over here if you'd let us have them. Well, take Mark with you. Yeah, no. All right, songbook. What else? Yeah, well, we're going to take notebook and pad and pencil, papers. Yeah. Here's a notebook I take. I don't know why I found this around the house. I title it Spiritual Retreat Reflections. Get it out in a minute. So I sort of keep mine in here, and they're not, I'll show you later how I did this, but I write sort of at the end. I have other paper that I'm writing things down on, journaling as I go. This is sort of my recap. And so I go back to 1991 here, and I've got about 6 or 8 of these in here, and I want to share a little bit. But take some notebook, maybe take a quiet time journal, you know, your notebook with you, things like your intercessory prayer list. Would that be right? Prayer list? What?
Don, something I did one day, just I'm not sure why, but I took a tape recorder, and I just put down, after spending about 4 or 5 hours in prayer, if I were to not make it home today, what would I want to tell my wife and children? And I made them a tape. And I haven't listened to it since, but it's in the safety deposit box. And I said, these are spiritual things that God has taught me, and thoughts that I have for you after spending a day in prayer.
That's
and I made a cassette tape.
That's great. Some reflections personalized to your family members or something like that that you want. That's a great idea. I hadn't ever heard about that. What else, guys, that you would want to have that you probably want to look at? We mentioned some things this morning already. Devotionals, how about, you know, y'all have Oswald Chambers or Billy Graham's Under the Hills or Morning and Evening with...
Devotional books,
yeah. I'm not talking about loading yourself down here. We're doing a comprehensive list here, which on any one time you go out, I'm always guilty of taking... Rita says, what? You're not going to read all this. I've got two bags out there, ma'am, and I'm carrying these things out. And she knows I'm not ever going to do it, but that's not the point. The point is I might want to look at one of those for a little while. You know, and I don't know. I don't know what the Spirit of God... So I sort of take a collection of things that I'm not intending to get into. A concordance. How about that? Because I really have used the concordance well.
I like to take my goals.
Your
goals? Goals.
Oh, your goals.
Goals. I don't have any goals.
Okay.
I usually take all my goals. Take
your goals.
And my plan for the year, so I can sort of plan, pray forward through my schedule for the next mm-hmm. month or two, or even 6 or 8 months, and just kind of pray through those things. Sometimes I get a little inkling of what's going to happen before it happens that way.
And I'll do that in reverse sometimes. I've taken the monthly calendars, or daily and weekly calendars, that maybe I had notes on what I did during those days, and pray back through the year. You'd be amazed. It's a great way to reflect back and thank God. So take your journals, and you know, it's a great way to pray and praise and thanks for God. Journal, notebook, we said that, Bible, dictionary, commentary, prayer list, diaries. There's some, often I think it's helpful to take a few, here again, I'm not saying we do all of these at one time, but we're going to look at a panorama of ideas. George Mueller's Man of Faith. Excuse me. This little booklet here, if you don't have this, this is obtainable through Zondervan Publishing. Real, real neat little booklet, not hard to get through at all, and it's Words to Winners of Souls. It's a real good little booklet. One of the best things I've ever seen on worshiping Christ is How to Worship Jesus Christ. This is put out by Moody. You don't find this very often. This is a guy named Joseph Carroll. It might say, well, what would I want to read somebody else? But believe me, this is very scriptural. He takes you through great scriptures here. How to Worship Jesus Christ is a great thing to do. There's a booklet that I found that there's a group over in Knoxville, Tennessee called Vision Foundation. I believe it's Gordon Adams, used to be a navigator. He has this booklet here, Making Time for Prayer. And isn't that good? Because that's what we have to do. We've got to make some time for prayer. And inside this, he got permission to reprint Lawrence Sanney's How to Spend a Day in Prayer. This is a classic. I don't think they reprinted this. I'm not sure. I don't think that's in print anymore. But you can get it this way. In fact, we have 50 of these on consignment, I might add, but 50, that they're $2 a piece. And I can't tell you because in the back how much they'd be worth it for you to buy one or two of them, because Gordon put in some guidelines for extended time in prayer with some appointment time schedules, objectives, waiting on the Lord. It's really, really well done, and we're going to have these here for you if you would like to purchase one or two of them. I used this the first time I went out, and it was very helpful to me. Do what? I didn't. Interlinear Bible. Okay. Well, you get the idea. There's a few things that you want to take out. And now she's pushing out. When are you going to go for some more prayer? You know. the car's all. Yeah. She's got my books loaded up for me. You know, and the car's full of gas and everything. I think I'm trying to get the idea here. One thing I really like to stress here is plan your agenda. And I think the Holy Spirit will plan your agenda for you, okay? I mean, you're going to have something that's getting at you in here, or you want to praise him so much just for something over here, or but have one or two focal things that you're going to go for, objectives, I might say. Plan an agenda, and I'm talking about some specific purposes, and I've got one or two I'll share with you just to, I won't share with you my inner thoughts, I'll share with you, you know, some things that I've prayed about and that helped me a lot. But do go specifically to pray for some things. One might be just to go worship him. I mean, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. And take a good location. That might sound corny, but find your place. You know, like I've got, Carol knows, I've got this little RV trailer on a fishing lake, and it's pretty quiet over there. And I can slip out on Thursday night, a Thursday evening, and spend all day Friday there and come home Friday night or Saturday morning, you know. And I took a day off from work, and so I invested time in that, and I think God's released me from, I feel no loss there whatsoever, but nothing but gain has come out of that. Get a quiet, private place and go unnoticed. You know, don't go around as we know we shouldn't go, advertise everybody, we're going to go. We'll hit it a full day in prayer. Have you ever done that? You know, but go out unnoticed and with that in mind. And I think fasting would be great. I have not done it. I would say this on food. Don't go out there and just cram food down. You know, go stop by the, we're going to cram God's Word the food down, but don't cram Fritos and chips and, you know, because you'll feel groggy, you won't feel good. I would suggest a moderate diet at the most. You know, cereal, bananas, fruit, things like that. You're going to have some fun, you know. Take your favorite, but don't take a bunch of junk food out there. I don't think it's just not good for our mental ability to think well and be rested. Now, the last thing I want to emphasize is this whole deal is to give us some time, unhurried. The unhurried mulling over, you know, that we talked about. And I'm saying leave hurry at home and take time with you. And just don't, if you can't go without a decent allocation of time, I'd suggest whether you can block out, you know, 6 or 8 hours or something like that, or a full afternoon and part of an evening. Isaiah 30:15, in repentance and rest is your salvation, in quietness and trust is your strength. Yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. He rises to show you compassion. And he is. He longs to be gracious to come to us and meet us there. And we all know that. He desires our fellowship. Yes, sir. Isaiah 30:15 and 18. Now, Jim, I'm going to just look at some reflections right quick. Is that okay? Because I want y'all to, maybe I'd like you to be thinking while I'm going over one or two of mine, some reflections that maybe you've had, you know, on a time out like this with God. Just, you know, generally, just on a general basis, not trying to, so think about that. But like this book started in August of 23 of 1991, and the two questions that Lauren asked that you may want to ask God when you're going out is, who are you, Lord, and what shall I do? And this is the first time I had done this, so I sort of went by the book, you know, I mean, I'm that way. Somebody tells me something good, and I know right from Lauren, I'm going to follow pretty well what the Lord says to do, you know. So I spent a time studying about who God was through the day. And I wrote him a letter. I wrote back to him, and who are you, Lord? So that was really the first time I did. There's one back in August of 94. And my objectives there were to get to know you, God, better today, discern guidance and serving on the board of a Christian ministry that I was being faced. So I had sort of a specific thing there that I was wanting to get off by myself with God with. And seek your help in two areas that I'm involved in with discipleship ministry in my church, scripture memory and believer follow-up. And, you know, God has blessed that. I mean, I'm not what he's bringing around since, let's see, that was in 94. So we're talking a year and a half later, and some things have happened there that I can do nothing but give praise to him for, because he answered prayer there and led me into what we should be doing, my wife. Another time was on Friday, April of 95. My verse that day, sometimes I had a verse that I chose. I just had been meditating on some verses a lot, as you would do, and a verse just kept coming to me. So I said, I'm going to go out with God with this one and spend some time. Psalms 139:23-24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the way of everlasting. I wanted some deep searching. I wanted God to look deep into my heart and spend some time, allow him to do that. In other words, just sort of come clean with God and spend time with Him, letting Him search me, giving His God's search warrant, is what I like to call that verse. So I came today to you, Lord, to open up, uncover all my heart's thoughts, to make my life open, my heart open to you for inspection, to open it up for correction, to open it up for perfection, and to open it up for direction. And those are things. And so when you know, when you're in the Word, the Holy Spirit's going to talk to you, and you'll be talking back to God in ways that there was also a specific direction and a correction. I had felt wrong in a business relationship with a customer of mine, and I asked him for not to change that, but to change my anxieties and give me some peace in that situation. And so I had about two or three things there that, and I can tell you that God delivered on His promises. And it gave me a great relief to get out with Him. There's just nothing like it. There's nothing like it in your prayer life. There's nothing like it. And it's so overlooked, and we don't really think of it that much. So that's why we want to present this part as the extended time in prayer, and how this will take care of some of those desires you've got to do, but you don't have that time. And it's a dimension that I couldn't encourage you to do more. I think that's all I had. Does anybody have a minute or two to share anything in their life? That, Carol?
Jordan Hewitt, he did things the opposite of the way we are inclined to do it. He said, today I have so much to do that I'm going to have to spend an extra 2 hours in prayer.
Yeah, that's great.
We approach it from the other end.
Yeah, right. We get so busy that we might get in 5 minutes of prayer.
Prayer will make us more efficient.
You know, Henry Blackaby said in Experiencing God, don't just do something, stand there. You know? I mean, that's the whole idea. Anybody else have a thought or? Well,
every once in a while you might have a couples. I know we went out with Chip and Cindy McWilliams and some other couples, and the night in the evening time after work we had Jack Taylor receiving,
right.
Receiving your spouse. We watched the video, then we went off with our wives to pray that night.
Right.
Just the two of us.
Yeah.
And then the next day, everybody individually went out at this lake and spent about 6 hours alone.
Oh, that's great.
That was a wonderful bonding time.
Yeah, yeah.
Great time with your spouse.
Yeah. Gary?
Yeah, one thing I've done with my Bible study at the university is that, three or four guys in my study that we took a day, we'd go out to the lake Saturday morning, spend a half day with God, and then come back and we'd have lunch, kind of sack lunch, and just share what God has spoken to.
You sort of had a picnic, the prayer picnic, went out and disbanded into the singles, most out by themselves mostly, had prayer, and they came back and ate some lunch together and shared fellowship with the believers like that. I think would be very uplifting. It's a good way.
Mm-hmm. I was at Front Scoopers this last year in Denver, and Jack Hayford shared with us, or challenged us to do a little practical thing to get on our knees and pray in the morning. He said to put our shoes or our footies or our booties or our sandals or whatever we're going to put on first thing in the morning underneath our bed, not just under our bed so that we can still reach down and grab them, but underneath there so you have to go get them. And while you're down there on your knees,
yeah, there you go. Yeah. Yeah, that's good. Well, we're preachers of habit, and that'd be a good habit to start instilling it. Chuck.
Within the last 30 days, I had set a half a day aside for extended prayer. And my prayer to the Lord was, show me, reveal to me in my life what needs to be changed. That was my simple prayer, and I went in with that attitude. Well, I went through this extended prayer time. It was organized and structured. And during those hours, nothing was revealed. I had no revelations. But later that day, it was near the end of the evening, I was sitting in the living room with my wife, and we were watching television. And it was on, but we were just discussing, having a conversation. Well, just out of the clear blue sky, she began to reveal to me things that I was doing in our relationship that was troubling her. And I can tell you, from experience, that this works.
Yeah. Amen.
I have to work on my patience.
Yeah.
But I didn't have to work on it too long because it was revealed to me that evening.
And then you spent, how long did you spend? About half a day. Yeah. And that's, all of us. Yeah. When was that? Has that been?
It was about 2 weeks ago.
Oh, just recently. That, half a day. I know all of us don't have. I'm a stockbroker, and when the market's going down, I want to be there anyway. When it's going up, the customers don't need to talk to me. They're all happy, So, but we can't all take off as easy as others, but there is a half a day in there you can grab. I would suggest something quarterly, maybe if you can, or semi-annually at the worst. That's not too much time, and I think once you get a first a drink of the water, you'll see. Once again, these little booklets I can recommend to you highly. So when we're through here, we'll be up front for anybody who wants to purchase. I'd say pick one easily each, and they're $2. That's our cost, and they're well worthwhile for some guidelines on extended prayer. Thank you.
I would say, Don, to just sell one each.
Okay.
So I'll take all 50 of them, Jim.
In case, because if you need, two books, then order one from the company. Because we've got more than 50 guys in here, and that way we can share them around a little bit. Well, I wanted to talk about answers to prayer, but just jumping on to a little bit of what Mark had said. When I got started on Quiet Time, I was lost. I met Gene Ware at Sunday School at Nichols Hills Baptist Church, and he came to my house that week and said, how's your quiet time? Now, I was a very cynical religious person at that time, going far, you know, in opposite direction from God, but wondering if there was something with God. And that's why I had attended church and met him. And I would have normally said, when someone asked me a question like that, I didn't exactly know what a quiet time was, but I would have had some answer for somebody, some kind of smart aleck answer. But for some reason with Gene, I just said, I don't even know what you're talking about. So he told me. He gave me this little pamphlet, 7 Minutes with God. How many of you have used 7 Minutes with God pamphlet? If you'll write down my phone number or address and drop me a note or give me a piece of paper, I'll mail you one if you don't have one. I realize my supply is exhausted, so I didn't bring one for you at this conference, but I'd love to. My number in Dallas is 214-931-8656. Answered 24 hours a day by Southwestern Bell or something, and just pop on there and give me your address, and I'll drop one in the mail to you. That might be the easiest way to get it. But anyway, Gene gave me this pamphlet, and he said, here, read this. It'll do you good and help you some. I thought that's kind of cute, you know. So I put that in my pocket, and I read it as I went to work and did different things, and it just said in there basically that you as a human, ordinary guy can have a personal relationship with the living God and know him just as well as you know anybody. And I thought that's the great idea of all time. I had, when I was in college, I played in rock and roll bands. I thought that's pretty exciting. Then when I was in the Army, I was a paratrooper. I thought that I always went for the exciting thing, you know. Then I got out of the Army and went to the Harvard Business School up there with all those blue blood guys. I thought that was pretty exciting. But here in this little 2-bit pamphlet was the most exciting idea that gripped my soul that I'd ever heard, that I could spend time actually fellowshipping with the living God. I could know him. Because I had this real dried out religious experience of just going through the motions. Have you ever driven down the street and there's a house and you look at it and it looks real good, but you realize all of a sudden it's been burned out? And there's just nothing inside, and you look and you see all the way through it, you know? That was my life. Good shell, bricks were all up, but nothing inside. Just, in fact, worse than nothing, ashes. And I was in the process of making ashes of everybody around me. Oh, boy. Sorry. Well, I better get off that story. Anyway, through that process, I came to Christ. I got my wife's Bible. I didn't have one. I'd lost it somewhere, and I didn't bother to replace it. It'd be like replacing a tumor. I didn't see any need for it, you know. And, so I borrowed my wife's Bible. It was a Living New Testament. I didn't know one from the other, and I remembered somewhere back in my history that you go into a closet. So I went into this closet, walk-in closet, shut the door, set a couple of cardboard boxes there, laid that Bible out, and started reading, and the very first day it was like, that book was about me. My name was on every page and every paragraph, and I remember walking out of there, and within the first 3 or 4 days, I was just telling everybody, the Bible is real. God is alive. And I didn't know what happened to me. I couldn't have
given you a good theological explanation, and sometimes that's the best. You know, I didn't know what the terms were, so I was out there stumbling, trying to tell everybody what was going on, you know. And basically, what happened is I was saved. I met Jesus Christ through the Scriptures. Well, that's how my... So all of a sudden, that 7 minutes became 70 minutes. And my wife, too, Don, wondered what in the world I was doing back there, you know, because I just kept getting up earlier and earlier because I had to be at work at a certain time. So, you know, I think about that a lot because sometimes now I have a little trouble praying. And I decided what to do when you have trouble praying. What you believe determines how you behave. So if my prayer life is slipping, I don't believe what I used to believe. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If your prayer life is dull, do a study on prayer. Memorize 50 or 60 or 100 verses on prayer. Meditate verses on prayer. Let God teach you. Don't come down here and let me lay a guilt trip on you or anybody else and say, oh, I think I'll up my prayer life. It'll be just as empty as what you've got now. But believe. And then, you know, sanctification is an automatic process. It's by faith. It's not work. You can't change yourself. But God can change you. Change what you believe, and that'll change how you behave. And I'm changing right now in this area of prayer. I'm regaining some stuff I lost. Some of you might be in the same boat. Revelation 3, 1 and 2. I hate this verse. It says... to the angel of the church of Jim Kennedy, write this. These are the words of him who holds the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you're dead. Burned out building. Ashes. Wake up. It's not too late. Strengthen what remains. You know, that little bit. Haven't given up, but it's pretty small. Strengthen what remains. And is about to die, for I have not found your deeds complete in the sight of my God. You started something, didn't finish it. So, I'm changing right now. Remember, therefore, what you have received and heard. Remember what you have received and heard. None of us need to know hardly anything more, do we? Remember what you've received and heard. Obey it and repent. Turn around. Change your mind. Do different. But if you do not wake up, there's a warning. I won't read that part. That's the part I don't like. I don't like any of that. Well, I didn't intend to share that. So it just comes extra with no charge. Check the time. We're doing good. This is a little... I love little gimmick ideas, you know. And this is a gimmick idea that I came up with on prayer list. I've had all kinds. Probably the first really big one I had was this thing right here. I don't know what it was, but I had a page for everybody. And I even... where is it here? I just threw all kinds of stuff here. Everything I could reduce down to a page... we used to have a picture of everybody we'd like to pray for, stick it up on the wall. So I took a picture of my pictures. And so some of you guys might be on this picture. I know Bill Heath's family's on there. And so I would look at that, you know, when I prayed, when I was, you know, it's kind of a mobile, because I couldn't take my kitchen everywhere I went. And... in fact, here's friends, Bill, Marilyn Heath, John, Junior at Wheaton, Susie, works for Bill, Mary, freshman at Wheaton, Becky, married to Steve Childers. So just, you know, stuff in there that I'd write down. I've tried to throw this away four or five times. I've actually put it in the trash a couple times, and it jumped back onto my shelf. I'm a terrible pack rat. I keep everything, you know, and so... here's another idea. Paul, what's your name? Mark. Mark said he memorized the prayers of Paul. Well, I took the prayers of Paul and a few other obvious prayers. And I broke them into specific phrases that I could pray, and I came up with 39 of them. And I fixed it so they'd fold out like this. And I would just start with some number and start down through my names and just pray the next thing for them, whatever it was. Kind of a Russian roulette of prayer. So things like continue in the word, bear fruit, love the brothers, don't lose heart, don't be afraid, mighty inner strengthening of the Holy Spirit, Christ at home in his heart and home, trust in Christ with a complete confidence, deep roots in God's love, see things from God's point of view, spiritual insight, spiritual understanding, outward life being a credit, know him better, love with growing overflow, and so forth. Because sometimes I don't know what to pray for people, or it's the same old thing. Well, this really put a lot of variety into what I was praying for people with a little bit of a system that I like. Well, my latest system, okay, is this thing. It's a card file. And you ever have somebody come up and say, hey, listen, pray for my mother. She's going to have surgery next Thursday. So I put that on a business card. This is just blank business card forms. Put it in here, and this is what I would like to pray for on Wednesday. Okay, these two pages. Actually, I have two sets of pages. So this page and this page and this page and this page are what these little things are. Pray on Wednesday. And these are the temporary prayer requests. And then after these requests have been answered, yes, no, or maybe, you know, there's three different ways to answer something. Yes, no, and this is prayer. Yes, no, and the third answer is, are you kidding? What God says sometimes when we pray to him. Yes, no, later, or different. So anyway, after the prayer has definitely been answered, I write on what the answer has been and put that in another place, if I can ever remember where that other place is, and that'll be a kind of a little category of answered prayers. So that's a pretty neat deal. And then I keep I keep the prayer list from Gene War and other missionaries in the front part of this. And then I have another little... This sort of virtually everybody else I pray for is on this little sheet. And I would redo that every now and then. This is sort of every 30 days, and this is every 7 days, and this is every day. So, I mean, I like to fiddle with it that way. Some people think, hey, you're taking all the life out of it, and if you are, don't do it that way. But get around guys who pray and say, hey, what are you doing in your prayer, and how do you keep notes? And to me, it's been fun and creative and stimulating to do that and have a variety and change from time to time. Well, I want to talk to you on the last page of the handout, page 4, about answers to prayer. Does God answer prayer? How do we decide that? Well, we could take a vote. Does God answer prayer? You know, or somebody could say, yeah, I think so, I'm not sure. This is a little bit of a mystery. And at the end, I'm going to read you a bunch of verses, not to teach those verses, but just to read and let those sort of flow over you about the reality of God's answer of prayer. Probably the prayer lecture should be brought by a woman these days because they seem to be more active in prayer than men. Men are the spiritual leaders, but women seem to be more active in prayer. Historically, that's true. So, you know, I wonder, guys, if we need to, I'm not compete with the women, but maybe we're shirking here a little bit. Maybe we think, hey, you know, I go out and kill the lions and do the things out there in the hunter and gatherer, whatever it is, and maybe we need to catch up to it. I do believe that God answers. Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I might answer thee. Does that anybody know that verse? Jeremiah 33:3. Call to me and I will answer. Now I can give you lots of verses on that, but how many times does it have to be in the Bible to be true? Call unto me and I will answer thee. And not only will he answer you, I will show thee great and mighty things which you do not know. Well, I do believe God answers, but most of the time we don't expect any answers. We're afraid to test our relationship with God and lean down hard on his promises. I can be content to keep my weak, anemic faith rather than test it and lose what little I've got. Sometimes I'm like the grandmother who was traveling to New York on an airplane, and her grandson said as she was getting on, "Granny, I thought you didn't trust airplanes." She said, "Well, I don't. You see, I never put my full weight down." She sort of, you know. Sometimes we're that way with God. Or like the little girl who wrote to a busy missionary. The Sunday school was supposed to write to a missionary. They knew this guy was real busy. "Dear Reverend Smith, we are praying for you. We are not expecting an answer." So there are really four answers. I'll kind of skip over this part. Yes, no, delayed. That's later. The example of Jesus going to raise Lazarus. And different. We pray for one thing and God answers the need, but not according to the request. You ever notice a lot of times people ask Jesus a question, but he didn't answer that question, but the question they were really asking. So sometimes that's the way it is in our prayer. We say something and God answers, but not what we said, but what we're really asking. Because before you pray, he knows your need. Not necessarily what we think we need, but he knows what we really need. So we're a little bit safe there in terms of answered prayer. Adoniram Judson was a missionary to Burma. He said this, "I am persuaded that we are all more deficient in the spirit of prayer than in any other grace." And if you ever read the biography, I've read three of them about Adoniram Judson. It's the most exciting. I mean, you know, forget about Tom Clancy and read about Adoniram Judson. Very exciting. Man of God, man of prayer. Here he says we're deficient in this more than any other grace. God loves importunate prayer so much that he will not give us much blessing without it. Importunate prayer is that kind where you just keep on keeping on. You go out and you spend all night. I used to wonder why Don would go out and leave his wife for a whole weekend. Then I realized she's trying to get him out there because of the change she sees in his life. And the reason that he loves such prayer, Adoniram said, is that he loves us and knows that it is a necessary preparation for our receiving the richest blessings which he is waiting and longing to bestow. I never prayed sincerely and earnestly for anything, but it came at some time. No matter how distant a day, somehow in some shape, that's the different and the later, probably the last I would have devised, but it came. Well, there's some fundamental principles about answered prayer. By the way, if you're looking at the notes, we're not there yet. I'm getting in that direction, all right? Fundamental principles about answered prayer. God's actions will never go against his word. There are some prayer requests that are impossible. Okay? Just a fundamental principle. Another one, God's greater purposes override the individual consideration. I prayed real hard that I could get a certain house one time. Somebody else got it. And I was real bummed out until I realized, wait a minute, I'm not an only child. I'm God's child, but I'm not an only child. I don't get everything. That lady needed to give that house, sell that house to somebody else worse than she needed to rent it to me, even though it meant my family was out on the street. And it just really helped me that I'm not an only child when it comes to, you know, asking God for things. A third principle is God operates on the basis of need, not want, although I do believe he considers our desires, and there's some verses on that. Fourth principle, God is not my servant. Psalm 115:3, our God is in the heavens and he does whatever he pleases. Next, there are some things we can never totally understand. God is not obligated to explain himself to you. God is thoroughly reliable but not predictable. Deuteronomy 29:29 says there are some things, there are secrets which the Lord our God has not revealed to us. So, just don't worry about those things. So let's look at the answers to prayer, the conditions. The first one is the big one, and that is that we must pray. James 4:2 says, James 4:2 says that you do not have because you're thinking. You do not have because you do not ask. I heard a man give his testimony, and I thought I knew who it was, but I thought it was Jack Humphreys, but he said he don't remember saying this. that he died and went to heaven, and there were they were showing him through the warehouse because he was a warehouse man. Sure, it was Jack that said this. And he was walking along this, and the boxes were stacked as high as you could see and as far as you could see, and he glanced over and noticed that box had his name on it, Jack Humphreys. And then this box had Jack Humphreys, and then this box. And he started walking a little faster, and every one of these boxes had his name on it, as far as you could see. And so he said to the angel, who was the tour guide, first day of heaven, "I know what this is." The angel said, "Oh, what is it?" "Well, these are all the rewards laid up in heaven for me." And the angel said, good try. "These were all the things we had ready to give you while you were on earth, but you never asked for any of it." I've been guilty of thinking small. Dawson Trotman said, "Sometimes we're out praying for peanuts when we ought to be praying for continents." Are you praying that your deck will not fall off your house when you ought to be praying that your neighborhood would be saved? You get my drift here? And so, we just got to pray, and boldly. I put this little saying on page 3 that you've got to take time to pray. You can read that on your own time. And what Carol Bolie said about the man who said he was so busy, he needs to spend an extra couple of hours in prayer today in order to get it all in. Okay, the next couple of points are the abiding in Christ. These are big ones that keep our prayers from sometimes being answered, and being cleansed from known sin. Both of these have to do with the person. And then the next three have to do with the prayer we pray. But we need to be cleansed from known sin. This was already mentioned today. Susanna Wesley said, "Whatever weakens your reason, impairs the tenderness of your conscience, obscures your sense of God, or takes away the relish for spiritual things, in short, whatever increases the strength and authority of your body over your mind, that thing is sin to you." So we've got to get rid of that stuff. Prayer produces cleanliness of heart and purity of life. It can produce nothing else. Unrighteous conduct is born of prayerlessness. The two go hand in hand. Prayer and sinning cannot keep company with each other. One or the other must of necessity stop. Get men to pray and they will quit sinning, because prayer creates a distaste for sin and so works upon the heart that evil doing becomes repugnant. The greatest guard we have against sin is the hatred of it and the shock at it, our sense of shock. So God will answer our prayer if we ask Him to cleanse us. Psalm 139, 23 and 24 is a good way to start your prayer. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. See if there be any wicked way in me." God just loves to have that invitation. So He gets His magnifying glass and His searchlight, and He comes in, but He's lovely and gentle about it too. If you get rebuked by a man, he may, do you some harm, but God rebukes you in a lovely, gracious, empowering, enabling, "Here's the way out," not stomp you while you're down. But it's embarrassing. If you've never wept real tears during your confession of sin, probably you're not doing it. And so let me just encourage you to really give God some freedom in that area. I jumped right over abiding in Christ. That's just as good. We're running out of time. The prayer. Pray in Jesus' name. We enter the presence of God only on the basis of the blood of Jesus Christ shed for our sins. It's not a trick that we kind of tack on in Jesus' name I pray, but it's something that we enter the presence by doing that. You heard the story of the man who was waiting outside to see the President of the United States, and he couldn't get in. He tried everything in the world. He had this urgent message to get to the President. He couldn't get in, and there was this little boy playing with a basketball, and the little boy said, "Mister, what are you doing?" "Well, I need to get in to see the President, but all these guards and everything won't let me do it." And the little boy said, "Well, come with me." So he grabs this guy by the hand, and they just walk right past all the guards, walk right into the White House, and walk right down to the Oval Office, and the little boy breaks in and says, "Daddy, this man wants to see you." That little boy is Jesus Christ. And I saw a little bumper sticker: "Without Jesus, you don't have a prayer." That's right. If I came on my merits, even at my top condition, I'd be utterly rejected. I wouldn't even get off Pennsylvania Avenue. But Jesus is always welcome there, so I am too when I come in His name. And then pray in God's will. Those who are not faithful readers of God's Word are rarely successful in prayer. It is here we find the precious promises, the teachings, the message which prepares our hearts to pray. When you find it difficult to pray, begin to meditate on God's Word, and the Holy Spirit will enable you to turn your heart to prayer. And then finally, pray in faith. George Mueller is the evidence of that, and you can read the book on that. Here's another book, by the way, the best of Ian Bounds on prayer. I mean, they've taken it all and stuck. It's just like being knee-deep in liquid glory. It's really something to read. Then we got the fine points. There are some verses there, but I want to give you guys some time now to make an application. We're not leaving, because I got something else to say before the end is up. But it's 12:22, and I'm going to give you... let's say 5 minutes. I really intended to give you 10 here, but I want you, just thinking back over everything you've heard so far, to write down something that you feel like you would need to do. And let me give you an idea. If you've got page 4 of the handout, it says, my application conviction. So I'd like you to write out a statement that's something like this. Concerning prayer, I believe... Concerning prayer, I believe... da-da-da-da-da. Therefore, I will, da-da-da-da-da. This is a conviction statement. Concerning prayer, I believe, therefore, I will. And then finish up your I will with what you need to sort of work on right away. And you may just say, I believe I'm right on target, praise the Lord, amen, hallelujah, and that's all you need to say. But if God is sort of tweaking you just a little bit, then go ahead and make some thoughts there about what you'd like to see. You may not even know how you're going to get it accomplished. But... there's something you'd like to see a little different. 7 minutes. 6 minutes to do this. Finish off something here. How many of you wrote down something? How many of you are going to do something about what you wrote down? Okay, boy, that is really something. We pray that something like that would happen. That there could actually be some life change in this deal. And we're looking forward to praying with you over the next 90 days and what's going to happen in your life in prayer. And could you pray for us too? So, I mean... I know you've got plenty of guys on your prayer list, but let me finish off with a verse here in 1 Chronicles 5. And this has to do with the idea of praying in faith, but just praying in general. This is 1 Chronicles 5:20. It says, they, that's the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the Muscovites. No, half tribe of Manasseh, who were very skilled in labor. Very skilled in battle, I mean. They were able to wield a bow and all this, so they were prepared for battle, but they needed prayer as well. You're that way, Don. I'm that way. You're that way, Tom. We're prepared. We're good, but we need prayer. So it says that they were helped in fighting them, and God handed the Hagrites and all their allies over to them because they cried out to Him during the battle. Sometimes I pray, in the morning, but I don't pray during the battle. So if there was a time to pray, it's before, after, and during. They prayed to Him during the battle. Then the next part, He answered their prayers because they trusted in Him. There's a key to answer prayer.